Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Good morning, and as always, it's Monday morning, and I am so happy that you are with me, and even if you are listening to the podcast, welcome. Fall is officially here. Most of our leaves are off the trees. We went for a drive Saturday to look at the last falling needles from larch trees. Some people call them tamaracks. They're just these green spruce-like trees, and they turn yellow, and the needles shed off. And in the middle of everything else that's green, with the other pine trees, they're just these globes of fire, and I love it. So fall is here. Within a very short amount of time, elections are here as well. We're going to be voting. And if you have not voted in the past, I encourage you to register and vote wherever you are. It's a privilege. And it's a right for us as individuals within your community, your country, to participate in the process. And I'm not going to go into political angst or anything like that, but today we are going to start diving into a new series and book that I've created, and it's not quite finished yet. So I'm really excited for today to dive into Building Esther, Five Ways to Build Your Own Crown. And, you know, Queen Esther's story is really, truly taking an opportunity and turning it into something else. And from this book in the outline, and we'll go over that, is this opportunity that Queen Esther had. She didn't ask for it, right? But the opportunities we have are more important than the ones we wish for. So as we think about that in our personal and our professional life and what our goals are, we have to have goals, because if we don't have goals, when we get up in the morning, we'll kind of flounder around and what are we doing? Opportunities continually show themselves, okay? And so take them. Don't keep wishing for a better opportunity, because the opportunities we have today will open the doors for the opportunities and the goals that we're wishing for, those dreams. Okay? And I know we've talked about dreams before, and dreaming is so important. Journaling those dreams. Setting a foundation to move forward to be something better tomorrow than we are today. What is that? Western society teaches us don't be a dreamer. Western society teaches us to be average and to pull into mainstream. And that's not how we were built. And this series is going to be more filled with scripture. And if this is not part of your belief system, I still welcome you to join us in where you are in your walk. It still applies, okay? Because it's combining that courage and plan. It's concerning ourselves to others more than self. It's serving God over ourself, and even within that realm, sometimes our safety is at risk when we blatantly just talk about our faith. And God has a purpose for every situation He places us in, and it doesn't seem that way sometimes. Sometimes it feels like God is just killing us right where we're at, but He has carefully planned where we are. And even if we've made choices not within his realm of the choices, he's still with us. He's still there in that place. And courage is vital, but courage does not replace careful planning. So building Esther is really about four phases. Is what's your plan? Pray about it. Trust it. And then plan some more. Pray. Trust. So you just keep going through this cycle. Because every day is a plan. We have our day scheduled from 8 to 5, whatever your schedule is. That's our plan. Do you take the time to pray into that plan? Are you trusting that the interruptions that may happen are for us to step into a new opportunity, or is that a place for us to set the barrier, set a boundary, to continue with your own plan, purpose, and where you're going? And this morning, this is going to go a little slow, but just track with me here as before we really start diving in. And, you know, again, the opportunities we have are more important than the ones we wish for. So when we look at Queen Esther's story, you know, the opportunity that God gave her was not the one that she was dreaming for. She wasn't wishing for it. She ended up in an area and in a spot in life where she didn't think she'd ever be there. Basically, she was in a harem, right? What does that mean? As we look at Western society, where in your life are you being boxed into a group where you do not belong? Where in your life, personally or professionally, are you in a group where you are lacking courage to step up and lead? Have you been placed there for a reason, but you are not stepping up into the opportunity to lead? And this series, Building Esther, is all about leadership. Where are you leading yourself into the opportunity you've been given for your purpose, for God's plan? And I was rereading a book called Be the Miracle over the weekend by Regina Brett, and there's some great things in here. And as I was thinking about starting the series, A Grace Break of Building Esther, I love this quote from her. And this is out of her book. It's on page 125 if you have it. We are like Joseph, who could have quietly left Mary instead of getting into a relationship that might demand more of him than he wanted to give. We prefer the normal, the steady, the predictable, something we can control. So she's using Joseph as an analogy of, you know what, his life could have been so much easier. Just don't even go there, right? Because even again, and I like to refer to Western society, we prefer normal, the steady, the predictable. What is it that I can control today? And here's the last part of her quote. We plan our lives, and in the planning are careful not to leave any room for God to come in and screw it all up. And that is so true. You know, when he's knocking at our door, it's like, yep, no, I don't have time for you because I am so overplanned and predictable, and I'm sorry, Lord, I am unwavering in what I am doing today. Unwavering. So I'm going to go back to the original quote. The opportunities we have are more important than the ones we wish for. So when we become so planned, predictable, and most importantly, unwavering unwavering, we miss out on opportunity. What is that opportunity? Are we modeling this to young people in our life as well? Do we have them so scheduled, planned, predictable, and unwavering for them to recognize or take on another opportunity that would actually ignite who they are and where they want to go and who they want to be? Is your days so planned, predictable, and unwavering? And so, again, it's we need to create our daily plan to allow God's space to mess up our perfect plan for His plan. Just let Him mess it up. It's really okay. So as we dive into building Esther, 5 ways to build your own crown. The first, so I'll go through the 5 principles, the 5 ways, is the first area is crown. Claim yours. The second is beauty. This is confidence in our character, self-esteem, awareness. So number one is crown. The second principle is beauty. The third is gifts. This is being courageous in the love and giftedness that we've been given. Number four is potential. This is our infinite reward. This is, again, one of the areas that I'm gifted in, and I will always talk about potential. Because what you're learning today is going to compound of what you've already learned, and you're going to be more tomorrow than you are today. But it's creating an environment to reward that potential. And the fifth principle is faith. We need to have faith to step forward in our crowned beauty. And how many times, and this is a frequent conversation that I keep hearing, is regardless if I'm doing my own private study, in adult Bible study yesterday in church, a couple of other areas where some friends have talked, they're just, where are they trusting it in their faith? And that's just it. It's the plan, pray, and trust. That where we're going is where we need to be. And also trust in those times that it was a fail, it didn't quite work out, that was a lesson learned of how not to do it and to move forward in finding a new way to do it the right way. And many times I have found the fail, the trust in moving forward in something that's really scary. Sometimes it's scary for a reason because I shouldn't have been there in the first place. So it's listening to that instinctual conversation. And I'm so aware in that anymore that when I'm walking into area that I do not fit into, very quickly I can assess it and walk away from it. So this is where I want you to look into, am I allowing God's space to mess up my perfect plan? Are you allowing Him space to do that? Because I can tell you, He totally messed up Esther's perfect plan, and she ended up being queen. But wasn't necessarily her initial plan. So the first area, again, is crown. Second is beauty. Third is gifts. Fourth is potential. And fifth is faith. So we're going to dive into the first principle, and that's crown. What is it? And this was so interesting about digging into research. And what does it mean to be a crowned queen? What does it mean for us, in it, whether you're a male or female, you still have the perfect beauty to be crowned. Okay? Male or female. It creates this synergy and energy of what does crowned mean. And when I dig in through the scripture and some other people have done research, there's five or six different scenarios of what crown means in scripture. And then there's the Webster's Dictionary version of crown. And so we're going to dig into that one right now. But if you have your Bible out, in 2 Timothy 4, 5, so that's 2 Timothy 4, 5, it reads, "And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the great day of his return. And the prize is not just for right for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his glorious return." So this is in the New Testament. It's talking about a crown, and what does that mean? So there's some definition in here talked about in the Roman time. So when we think about analogy and crown, it was a laurel wreath was given to the winners, and it was a symbol of triumph and honor in one of the most coveted prizes in ancient Rome. And so when we refer to a crown, it can have many different meanings. It's also a position, a place of where we are in society. I know for me, I love crowns. I love tiaras. And it not, isn't necessarily for the bling, but it is one of those areas that we think about little girls and dreaming and playing with tiaras and crowns, and even the boys, you know, wear king crown with, you know, they take the piece of construction paper and cut it out and put it on, and they're king for the day. What a place of honor and glory when we think about crown. Think about honor, place, and glory of where you're placing that boundary in your life, personally, professionally. What does that look like? Planning, praying, and trusting. And with this ends up being, you know, value, your self-worth. And as children, when we're playing and play acting, I'm a king or the queen or prince or princesses, when they're play acting, their self-worth is, I am king for the day, princess. And this leads into self-confidence, self-esteem. It's because we know and walk in that path of value. We know where we're being valued. And then that creates a line of navigation. And to lead well, we need to know what our goals are, where we're, what that means, and to navigate. And so our value, our self-confidence, and navigating into that plan, we also need to look at the fine line between goals and greed. When we're wearing our crown, is it completely self-centered, or are we adding value to others, and are we modeling values and self-confidence to others? As we're navigating, are we bringing others alongside of us? And through that, through wearing our crown, through our values, through our self-confidence, that we're navigating of goals versus greed, and that's a whole other conversation, but I want that awareness in this conversation. Even though we're building our own crown, crown is to serve others. Okay? When royalty is crowned, they are crowned to serve the people. Jesus was crowned with the thorns. That was to serve the people. And what a beautiful analogy to think about a crown of thorns. And even, you know, those who put that crown on him, the message and legacy left behind of that crown of thorns, serving the people, and he served us well. So as you're building your own crown, who is it that you serve well? Think about who you serve. What are you? What's your values? And we've talked about values, so if those are episodes you've missed, go back to Grace Break and listen to those past ones. Because if you're not quite sure what you value or need a little bit of a checkup or cleanup, go back to those episodes, and it's really just outlines what your values are. And everybody's different, and there's no right or wrong answer. And so that's what I love about those exercises. So as we think about building our crown, where we are and where we're being spoken to, and I love this, is, you know, God speaks to us from unexpected sources. Look at the burning bush in Moses. I mean, you know, does God speak to you through a donut? Whatever it is. In your quiet time, in your plan, pray, and trust, where is that unexpected source where he is speaking to you? I was on a call with a friend a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about those quiet places with God. And she talked about there's a couple of tiles in her kitchen where she has great conversation with God. And, you know, really ends up being, it's the place where she stands doing dishes. And that's a very quiet time for her. So where is it that you can have quiet time? And I also want to encourage you is that we do not have to wait for God to appear. We can ask him for wisdom today. Just ask him today. Lord, as I'm building my crown, who am I to serve? And that's one of the, that's why the crown is the first section of this book. We need to know who we serve and who we serve well, because that's who we're meant to be and use our gifts. And I just love that. So then I'm going to go into a Mother Teresa quote. I wasn't called to be successful. I was called to be faithful. So as we're building that crown, be faithful in that plan and prayer. Where are you going? Consult God before consulting others. So often, and I'm even at fault with this, instead of sitting down and journaling and asking God for the wisdom that I need, I'll go and ask everybody else first, and God's last. Consult God first, and then everyone else last. Because once we consult him first, we already have the answer. Okay? What do you need? What are the next steps? What weight are you carrying that no longer you should carry? And as we go through here, in consult God first before consulting others, I'm going to read a Theodore Roosevelt quote. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who at best knows in the end the triumph of great achievement and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails by daring greatly. Are you in the game? I'm asking you. Are you in the game? Is it a triumph or a failure? It doesn't matter. Play. Get in, as Theodore Roosevelt said, get in the arena. And as you're building your crown, who are you serving in that arena? Because I can tell you right now, you're smart enough, you're brave enough, and you have enough wisdom to do what you need to do. And I don't know who it is that I'm speaking to today, but you know you have to put one step in that arena today. What is it for you? Greatly. I know what it is for me, and when I talk about these things and I write these books, so often as I go through it again and again, I'm convicted in a different way. So even this morning as I was re-reviewing notes, I'm convicted in a whole nother area of where I'm not stepping into the arena. So this morning, shortly after Grace Break is over, I'm stepping into the arena. In all these situations, and even if it's fail, I want everyone to fail. I want you to fail because that's where we learn. And this is a safe place to fail. And I want to hear about it. If you want to message me, if you want to email me, whatever it is, I want to know where you're failing. Because there's lessons to be learned, and where you're failing, other people are learning. And where you're hurting, other people are learning. Okay? And so I want to talk about, this is a quote from Timothy Keller out of his Counterfeit Gods. And this is talking about career. So whether it's personal or professional, it still applies. We may not realize how idolatrous our career has become to us until we are faced with a situation in which telling the truth or acting with integrity would mean a serious blow to our professional advancement. If we are not willing to hurt our career in order to do God's will, our job will become a counterfeit God. So again, where in your personal or professional life are you not stepping into the arena? And here's the last part from Timothy Keller. People who have never suffered in life have less empathy for others, little knowledge of their own shortcomings and limitations, no endurance in the face of hardship, and unrealistic expectations for life. So use your suffering. Use those experiences. If we're also not modeling failure at home, our kids are not learning that failure is okay. Suffering creates empathy, and that is where leadership comes from. Sometimes it seems like God's killing us when he's actually saving us, and that is also a Timothy Keller quote, and I love it. So look for more on building your crown. What's the definition for you? There's many scriptures, and we'll post resources on the website of the scripture where crowns are, and then, of course, the Webster Dictionary definition. But it's anointed. It's your giftedness. It's who you are in clarity and competence and the commitment to who you are serving. So crown is part one. I pray you have a blessed week. You are honored, and I love you. Look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.